And now, the rest of the story. During the 90s, Ronnie was a student in an English school for boys. One day, the headmaster asked him to remain for a few minutes after class. The dark-eyed boy remained to receive the heartbreaking message from home that since his father had died, there wasn't enough money for Ronnie to continue his schooling. He would have to go home, go to work. The lad first got a job with the British Steamship Company, and within 5 years, so earnestly had he applied himself, that he became a bookkeeper and an accountant. Regularly each week, he would drill with the London Scottish Regiment, the British equivalent of our National Guard. When his period of enlistment expired, he set aside this activity so that he might have more time to study bookkeeping. Not for long. August 4, 1914, war. And the dark-eyed bookkeeper put aside his pen and closed his books and shouldered a rifle again. He enlisted with his old regiment. I don't know whether you remember Lord Kitchener's first 100,000, but the handsome, shy young bookkeeper was part of that outfit. He was a private with the old Contemptibles, among the very first regiments to cross the Channel to France. Now, it rains every war. In that long autumn of 1914, the fastidious pen pusher from British Steamship Company fought the Germans just sometimes. But whether he was awake or asleep, the old enemy mud was always on his heels, in his food, clogging the muzzle of his gun. His home was a dozen sandbags with a mud floor. His bed was a cold, clammy mattress of mud. And then one night, there was another order to move up. The rains had left no man's land a slimy sea of mud. Somewhere out there are the Boche. They have the range, and they're pouring on the cold as the Tommies slide forward on their bellies toward the next hole, the next entanglement of wire. With the old Contemptibles is yesterday's bookkeeper crawling forward under the whine of the shells into the face of death. The German shells are getting closer and closer, and still the British lines move forward. And then it happens. Not 20 feet away it hits. There's an awesome, sickening, simultaneous sense of concussion, thunder, and the sudden thud of an avalanche of mud. And with the last reverberation still echoing in the bookkeeper's brain, he struggled to regroup his senses. He was alive. And he was whole. But he was alone. On the other side, comrades of a moment ago lay dead, and some of them dismembered. Well, Randy starts to get to his feet and join his buddies, and one leg collapses under him. The ankle is broken. The line moves up and leaves Private Ronnie behind. Lying prostrate in the mud, the mild-mannered boy from an English boarding school waited out an eternity as the Tommies surged ahead and passed him up for dead. When night came, the young soldier crawled back to the nearest friendly trench, and there with the wounded, he dragged himself back and forth with the ebb and flow of each attack and counterattack. And it was a long day later that Ronnie awakened in a field hospital behind the lines. The bookkeeper, who had been abandoned for dead, had suffered a badly fractured ankle, but it was sufficient so that he was discharged. Yet somehow he could never go back to keeping books. It was no use. For 2 years, he sought in vain for a foothold in a profession that had always been a dream. He wanted to get onto the London stage, but there were no jobs available. He worked as a walk-on actor in a New York play, and then one day, the lad who couldn't afford to finish school, the soldier who was almost left for dead on the battlefields of France, and then one day, that man became one of the most polished actors of the American stage. For the gallant soldier with all of the mud washed off was Ronald Coleman. Ronald Coleman? Ronald Coleman. And now you know the rest of the story.